There have been times in all of our lives when we have been in danger. And when we are in danger, we can be shaken up. For instance, Lois Mall told me that on April 13th, there was a warning of a tornado. And a tornado was coming very, very close to her home, and she had to go to the basement all by herself. She was in danger. Shook up. I'll bet that happened to some of the others of you in here, too. Or I remember a few years ago when Milton Barr Griffin were driving home after a worship service, and they were in an automobile accident. Danger. Some of you may remember former member Bud Eli. Do you remember Bud used to keep our trailer at his house and drive it here every Sunday? And one Sunday morning, coming out of his driveway from home, a car hit him. Danger. Perhaps King David was in danger when he began Psalm 16 with this plea. Keep me safe, O God. For I take refuge in you. I suspect that whenever you are in danger, you utter a prayer very much like that. Keep me safe, O God. For in you I take refuge. And David was no stranger to danger. His life was very colorful, you remember. But we have reason to believe that when he wrote those words in Psalm 16, he was not writing about some of the kinds of dangers that he had experienced. He was not talking about his battle that he was about to have with Goliath. He wasn't praying about being chased by Saul or being in a war somewhere. Instead, he was talking about a different kind of threat altogether, a more important kind of danger. It was danger for his very soul. He was referring to what happens to a person when they die. He was talking about being rescued from eternal damnation and spending eternity with God, his heavenly Father, long before Jesus Christ came and told us that he had prepared a place for us in heaven. David's prayer should be on our lips, brothers and sisters, constantly, because it is a confession of utter confidence in God. He is your refuge. He is your fortress, even in the face of death. And as we continue in this psalm, you'll see that more and more clearly. If it's helpful to you, I've reproduced the psalm at the back of your bulletin, and you can follow along as we go. The word that David used for refuge is better translated in the King James Version.
Amen.
Yeah. As the word trust. It says there, in thee do I trust. If you place your trust anywhere else, you are in serious trouble. You are going to have sorrows. In fact, David refers to that in this psalm in verse 4. He says, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. And don't think for a minute that sin is not rampant in our day. People run after other gods. Place all of your trust in Jehovah God. Am I preaching to the choir? I suspect you already know that. Place all your trust in Jehovah God. He is your refuge in any storm, no matter what it is, any emergency. And far more importantly, he is your ultimate refuge when you face death. And make no mistake, death is creeping up on all of us. As David continued in Psalm 16, he gave us a fourfold outline as to what our lives should be like to reflect the nature of God in our lives. He refers to the Lord four times and in four different ways. In verse 2, David proclaims, "You are my Lord." And in verse 5, he says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup." And in verse 7, he says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me." And in verse 8, he says, "I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me." Let's summarize those four thoughts. Number one, you need to recognize that He is Lord. Amen. Number two, you need to recognize that your life is in His hands. Amen. Number three, you need to acknowledge that He leads you and He counsels you in all things. And number four, place Him first in your life all the time. We're preaching to the choir. Do you already know these things? Well, be reminded, this is not just a psalm about being rescued from a dangerous situation. This is a psalm that is celebrating the fact that God wants to rescue you from yourself. This is a psalm celebrating the fact that He will rescue you from yourself. He wants to love you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to spend eternity with you. David was a man after God's own heart. This psalm, I believe, is a call for us to do the same. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, "You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing." That is the confession of a committed man. Can you say that about yourself? Are you a person who confesses to everyone around you that everything good in your life comes to you from God? Do you have a loving spouse? God gave you that spouse. Do you have a nice home? God gave you that home. Are you a proud grandparent? God gave you those grandchildren. Are you grateful for this church? God gave this church to you. Matthew 7. Which of you is His son were to ask for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask you? This is not a psalm about cowering in fear. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 3, "As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight." David is saying that he not only loves God, but that he loves God's people too. That's what we're supposed to do as well. That's what we are supposed to be. That is a core principle of our Christian life. That is a mantle that has been placed on all of us as a church. Matthew 22,
one of my favorite scriptures.
Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Look around this room. Look around this room. Look to the right. Look to the left. Look behind you. Yeah, look behind you. I won't ask you to look up here because that would put too much on our being myself. So, do you take delight in the people that you see in this fellowship?
Amen.
In everybody? Let me ask a different question. Do they take delight in you? Every church is made up of likable people. And some others. But hopefully each and every one of them takes their refuge in Jehovah God. One of the most common phrases that I have heard in all the television interviews during this pandemic, I've already said this morning. We are all in this together. Not just the pandemic. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. Together. How true. How true. And the same is true for this crazy mixture of people right here called Covenant Fellowship. We should delight in one another, brothers and sisters. And that is supposed to bring us joy. But here's something that is supposed to bring us sorrow. In verse 4, David said, the sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. David says, Lord, you are my God. I take delight in you, and I also take delight in others who accept you as their God. But, oh, Father, there are some who do not accept you as God. And that makes me sorrowful. And they may not even realize it, but their very lives are full of sorrow. And they may not even realize it, but their sorrows are going to increase and increase. Now, at this point, we probably should cue an appeal for evangelism, but that's for another day. At this point, David reminds us of the joys that you and I share because of God. Verse 5, Lord, you have assigned me my portion. And my cup, you have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I heard about a couple who lived in a very unfriendly neighborhood. The neighborhood was so unfriendly, in fact, that every homeowner in that neighborhood erected a fence around their property, a boundary. And it was really ugly because, you see, there were wooden fences and there were chain link fences and there were synthetic plastic fences and there were short ones and there were tall ones. And there were taller ones. It was really ugly. And in fact, that neighborhood developed a reputation and a name. People called it the Ugly Fence Village. How would you like to live there? Now that couple decided they had had it. They wanted to get out of it. And they said that by God's grace, they were able to buy a plot of land, open land, and build a lovely home in a new neighborhood. And in fact, they chose a lot that was by a lovely park filled with trees. Their boundary lines had fallen in pleasant places. However, one day they were sitting on their new patio and enjoying their view, and a contractor drove up and began surveying a new neighbor's land, because that new neighbor had just moved in and they were planning to put up a fence. How ironic. Now imagine for a moment that we're not talking about houses, and we're not talking about houses with fences. We're talking about people who build fences around themselves to keep other people away. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to put fences and boundaries between you and your relationship with one another. That's not the way the church, the family of God, is supposed to operate. God put us together here to be his body here on earth. That is our portion. That is our cup. And that is part of our delightful inheritance. Don't ask God to keep you safe and be your refuge. If you insist on building fences and walls between yourselves and one another, it just doesn't work that way. In contrast, celebrate the fact that God has given you pleasant places and a delightful inheritance. Hallelujah. That's how David was feeling when he wrote verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. The Lord does give you counsel, and he does it in so many ways. He does it through his word. He does it through one another. He does it through teachers and preachers. He does it through his Holy Spirit and more. And not only does he give you counsel during your waking hours, but God also gives you counsel at night. The Bible is filled with stories about God speaking to people through dreams. He even said that in the last days he would speak to old men through dreams. Well, that goes for old women too. Hallelujah. So rest in the Lord. He's always, always there with you, day and night. Hallelujah. Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken, because he is at my right hand. What does that expression mean? It means that God is your champion. You see, it was customary in this time to come, if you came, into the company of the king, for a champion to stand at the right hand of the king. So if God is standing at your right hand, it makes God your champion. Hallelujah. And what is the result of all that? David says it plainly. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. At the beginning of this, we talked about being in dangerous situations. And I said that being in danger can shake you up a bit. And David said, hold it. You have a champion standing right there beside you. Don't forget that, brothers and sisters. No matter what happens in your life, and life happens, you have a champion. And the very next word in Psalm 16 is, therefore. We already know what that word means. We've dealt with it many times. And the reason for its being there has already been stated. Verse 9, therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. As we said earlier, God is your refuge in any storm, in any emergency, and far more importantly, he is your ultimate refuge when you face death. And as we said, make no mistake, death is creeping up on us. David says, don't be shaken by that. Instead, celebrate the fact that the everlasting God is there with you in life, he is with you in death, and he will never abandon you. Never. Now I'm preaching to the choir. And David, by faith, proclaimed this truth in the final verse of the psalm. You, Lord, you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That is a powerful, powerful psalm. Confidence and gratitude, and it's framed in a strong faith in the goodness and in the power of Almighty God. But wait, there's more. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, we read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, a story with which you are very familiar. And that led Peter to go out into the streets and proclaim this wonderful sermon to the crowds in Jerusalem that day. And in that sermon, Peter confronts them with the fact that while they nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, God raised him to life again. And then, guess what? Peter quotes the closing verses of Psalm 16, including these verses, 27. You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay, for you have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And then Peter declares that those words of David were prophetic. Beginning in Acts 2, verse 29, Peter explained it this way. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried in his tomb, and his tomb is here today. But he was a prophet. And he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, David spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses to the fact, exalted to the right hand of God, our champion, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Jesus Christ is in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is in the New Testament. Jesus Christ is life in the midst of death, and he is your champion. He is your champion of champions. He has made known to you the path of life. Brothers and sisters, walk that path, hand in hand with him and hand in hand with one another, and you will never be shaken. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, we take courage. Through your Son, we take refuge. And we claim your promises, Lord, of eternal life with you. May we walk with you carefully and love you completely and celebrate your love for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.